Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Dog trainer Yvonne Feeney is here to talk about this topic. It's a question I get asked about maybe more than any other. I've got a puppy. How do I house train that puppy? Now, I'm talking about all puppies, from little tiny, tiny dogs that are only going to be as adults, little tiny, tiny dogs, they're not going to grow very much, to dogs that will grow very much into that Great Dane. Can you house train any dog?
Absolutely. Absolutely, you can. The important thing is to have them on a good schedule. Crate training is absolutely important. Feeding schedule is also going to help you. I think some of the important things to think about is putting them on a freedom schedule.
What is that?
It is how much time your dog is allowed outside of their crate. Doesn't mean they get full run of your entire house, but maybe a certain area in your home. If you know they have an empty bladder, they can be awake and playing with you in a certain part of your house. Set a timer. Everyone has a smartphone these days, it seems like. Maybe you start off with an hour and a half. They're playing with you. That timer goes off. You take them outside or to their potty pad.
So are you referring to the law, and I believe it is a law, that after puppies have eaten, after they've had water, after they're sleeping and wake up, that no matter what, because it's a law, those dogs have got to go.
Absolutely.
And if you don't give them the opportunity to do it outside, they have no control. They're going to do it inside.
And one thing that I hear all the time is, I want my puppy to let me know. I think that is false. You are in charge of that door. You are in charge of helping them understand where the potty pad is. So once that timer is up, you are going to take them to their pee area, be that outside on leash or inside on a potty pad.
Now, should they go to the same place, whether it be inside or outside, all the time?
I think so, yes. They have what I call puppy ADD. If some people think, well, I have to walk my puppy. So they go to house one and they think, oh, it's Disneyland. It's Vegas. The next house. Oh, brand new place. So to go to the same place, have it be very unexciting. I say stand there for 3 to 5 minutes if needed. Be very boring. They are getting scents on the breeze, taking in the environment. Once that they become very aware and a little bored by that, then they might start to sniff the ground and eliminate.
And they're there to work, not to play with you.
And I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is they know they're supposed to reward their puppy after they go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But they start to pre-celebrate. So as soon as they start to eliminate, people say, yes, they crinkle that treat bag. Then the puppy thinks, oh, we're having a party. They get the pressure off their bladder. They clamp up, and they're half full when they go in the house. So wait until they are drip, drip done. Then you can celebrate for eliminating outside.
How important is it, because so many of us have doggy doors, or we just open the back door and say, go, and assume this puppy has done its business, and you really don't know because you're not out there with the dog. And also, you're rewarding the dog when it comes back in the house.
But yeah, it has to be right in the moment, but like I said, not too soon. But it has to be within a matter of seconds after they go to the bathroom. The other problem people have is when their dogs do come inside, you've set that freedom clock. So this is while they're awake. Obviously, the clock doesn't need to happen if they're sleeping. You know as soon as they wake up, you have to take them out. But what happens during that freedom clock time period, something very exciting might happen. Okay. Exciting things. So I like to think of the biology bladder. Above them is the kidney. On top of the kidney is the adrenal gland. So I like to think of adrenaline bursts. That is going to tickle that bladder. And it depends on the dog. Some, they can have an adrenaline burst. 5 minutes later, they might have to eliminate. Some of them, it might be 20 minutes later. So what is exciting for a dog? Maybe mom came home, just took the dog out. 20 minutes later, their partner comes home. Then they have an accident and they think, well, I just took them out. It hasn't been their time. Well, it's very exciting when that other person comes to the door. It could be the pizza man. It doesn't matter. The zoomies, that is another exciting time for them. playburst. They're running around being a little crazy. That's going to get that adrenaline pumping. That's really going to tickle that bladder as well. Dropping a pan in the kitchen. It doesn't have to be fun. It could also be slightly scary. So I think keeping a log of when they have accidents, thinking about these concepts, took the dog out 30 minutes ago, then it had an accident, but the smoke alarm battery was low and the alarm went off.
Is it ever realistic to think that my puppy should never have an accident? I mean, I've had puppies before, and this time I'm going to do it, and my dog will never have an accident. And if your dog does have an accident, then what do you do?
You never want to rub their nose in it, for one. Pee or poops, they just become afraid to go to the bathroom in front of you. That's going to make it harder for you to get them to go in the appropriate place. So that is absolutely inappropriate. You are the only one they trust, so we don't want to break down that bond. You want to make sure you're cleaning with a really good cleaner. It has to be an enzymatic cleaner. Those pheromones can definitely be left behind, and they are attracted to go in that area that you think is clean.
Okay. And is it ever realistic to think my dog is going to be perfect?
I think that's why the accident log is very important. Maybe you realize
what I'm getting at? It's a puppy.
It's a puppy.
It's like a baby, and they have accidents, and it's okay.
Well, and I think that's why the log is important, because you'll see, oh, we were having 12 accidents 3 weeks ago. This week we had one accident. We are on the right track.
Exactly. Yvonne Feeney, thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Dog trainer Rendy Shucaut is here to talk about crate training. It's a controversial issue among some still. I kind of don't get it. To me, it seems all puppies ought to be crate trained for two reasons, for their own protection, and also it helps with house training. So I'm curious, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. Crate training, I think people conjure up this jail that the dog is in. And really, you know, what we try to do is make it as safe a place as we can, but as positive a place as we can. And to the two go hand in hand, or they should. But you hit it, house training and safety. I have a lot of people that, you know, don't want to put their puppies in a crate. But then if you kind of give them some perspective to say, yes, but if your puppy's out of the crate, you're not going to be there all the time. Your puppy could get into something potentially even dangerous they could start chewing on, and then you've got a real problem. So crate training helps us provide a real nice, safe place for that puppy to be when you're not there.
And they learn what not to do, in essence, because if they don't develop the habit of chewing on, whether it be an electrical wire, which could be very bad because that can kill
exactly.
a puppy, or just chewing on the pillows on the sofa,
exactly.
rearranging your house when you're not
That's
there,
exactly
they
it.
Don't know not to do that.
They don't.
And
they
then
don't.
They become in the habit of doing it.
Exactly.
And you
yeah.
wonder why.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we want this to be a special place. We want it to be, we call it kind of den-like. So we make it a nice place that we can even create some positive associations, putting the puppy in there for a short amount of time. And then when the puppy comes out, we know we've got a better shot at getting the puppy to go potty at that point, which also helps on the back end with house training.
All right. So how do you say to the puppy, this is not a bad place?
Right.
How do you communicate that message?
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, what we try to do is be with the puppy initially when they go into the crate. We can even put some nice treats in the crate, encourage the puppy to go in on their own. We don't want to shove the puppy in the crate and leave them. So being there, at least initially, also to have the puppy sleep in the crate. It's a nice, safe place for them. Again, to put some treats in there. We've even encouraged some clients to feed their puppy in there, breakfast and dinner in there. Again, that's going to help because puppies typically don't want to go to the bathroom where they're sleeping and eating. So
it's true, but you also have to be fair.
Yes.
So if you've got an 8-week-old puppy or a 6-week-old puppy, particularly if it's a small dog, small
sure.
puppy, small bladder.
Yes, exactly.
And you're leaving that little puppy in the crate while you're at work for 8 hours.
Correct.
Might that be just a little too much? And in fact, in a way, I say this word carefully, inhumane, because you're forcing the puppy to go to the bathroom.
Correct.
The puppy has no choice.
Right.
And you don't have someone, a friend, a neighbor, a dog walker, somebody come in during the middle of the day.
Yeah, it's really important to have hopefully some breaks for the puppy. You can't expect an 8-week-old puppy to go 8 hours. That is inhumane, in my opinion. So you do need to at least start thinking about, this is why we say prepare to get a puppy. Have somebody on your team that can let that puppy out. Typically, if a puppy's 2 months old, they can go about 3 hours would be their maximum amount of time. So you would expect to have an accident, and you certainly don't want your puppy having accidents in their crate when we're trying to make that a positive place. That automatically becomes a negative place for them if they're having to sit there and wait for you to come home to let them out. So yeah, you need a team. You need, you know, somebody, a dog walker, a family, a friend. You need to come home. We need to get that puppy out of the crate so that they have a shot at being successful.
Are there some puppies, perhaps a dog that was previously in a pet store? You know, are there some puppies where they may be a small minority? Probably are, definitely are, a very small minority,
right,
but probably shouldn't be crate trained.
Yeah, yes and no. Those puppies, if they did come from a situation where they did have to go in their crate, kind of reframing the idea of a crate for them can be a little bit more challenging. But that's where sometimes we will go to links to make sure it's a positive place for them. I mean, we do have, you know, living in Chicago, we do have a lot of puppies that live in high rises. To think that you're going to be able to take a 3-pound puppy out at negative 30 below wind chill is probably not going to be setting them up for success. So we do have some smaller puppies that are pad trained. But even if you're pad training a puppy to go on a pad instead of outside, I still think they need to learn to hold it. So that's where it comes into feeding in the crate in their special place. But we've had some people substitute a crate for maybe a pen or an X pen, and that's certainly a fine substitute as well.
Excellent. Great tips.
Thanks.
Rendy Shuklot, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
So one thing I want to talk about very seriously, these two pending laws, one is in the Senate, the other making maybe, I hope not, its way through the House of Representatives in Illinois, would not allow communities to ban sales of dogs and cats at pet stores, would not allow communities to make that decision, to say no dogs or cats could be sold at pet stores. And cities like Chicago, as well as Cook County, Waukegan, I mean, there are cities all over America, well over 200, but in Illinois, those are the big ones that said, you know what, you cannot sell dogs or cats, and in Chicago they added rabbits, because we know where they're sourced from. They're not responsible sources. And in fact, no responsible breeder ever sells to a pet store. And this legislation would say, okay, Chicago, you made, and other communities, you made that a law that you cannot purchase dogs or cats from pet stores, but that law is going to poof, disappear when this legislation is passed. That's wrong. That legislation pretty much supports pet stores. That is wrong. We will continue on top of the story as long as it is a story. And I hope that's not for long.